Don't forget your challenges. That is a very, that is might be the smallest microphone I've ever seen there, Zach.
Yeah, well, it's tiny, and I don't, at this point, don't need it for anything else besides being on podcasts. So it does, uh-huh. the, does the job. It
it's was, not the size of the microphone, but.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's time to drop the puck on the Sports Trivia Face-Off.
That's right. You have downloaded Season 2, Episode 20 of the Sports Trivia Face-Off. My name is Brent. I will be one of your hosts. The other host is Aaron. Aaron, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, thank you. It is my mother's birthday today, and she does not listen to the show, but I hope she has a good day anyway.
I hope she has a happy birthday, too.
Yeah, we're having dinner tonight with a bunch of friends, so it's going to get rowdy. I'm excited.
I hope that her mother, that her birthday includes a Blues victory.
I'm sure you do.
I'm sure I do. Yeah, the nerves have pretty much set in hardcore. We are here with Scott and Zach. Scott, would you introduce yourself to the podcast audience, please?
Sure. My name is Scott Gant. I'm a special ed teacher in Marshall, Illinois.
And Zach, would you introduce yourself, please?
Hi. Zach Nolick from Glen Carbon, Illinois, which is just outside St. Louis, not too far from where you are, Brent.
Yep.
All St. Louis sports is what I like. Cardinals, Blues, also very nervous for what's going to happen this afternoon. College sports, love football, basketball for college, hockey, baseball, a little bit of soccer, and just some of everything.
I forgot to mention my sports affiliations. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I originally am from Terre Haute, Indiana, the crossroads of America, home of Indiana State University, only known for Larry Bird. But anyway, Pacers fans, Colts. And being in Indiana, we have a choice of baseball between Reds, Cardinals, and Cubs, and then a few weirdos who like the White Sox. But I am a Cubs fan.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. But as long as you're not a Blackhawks fan, it's okay with me.
Well, I wasn't going to mention it because I'm not.
Now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's go over the rules.
Here are the rules for the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Each player will get a chance to answer 5 questions in a category they choose. If they answer correctly, they get 10 points. If not, their opponent can answer on the rebound for 5 points. Twice per game, a player may challenge his opponent to answer a question first for 10 points, but the opponent can answer correctly for 15 points. 2 intermission questions are worth up to 20 points, and we will explain the shootout once we get there.
Full disclosure, I'm actually not a huge hockey fan, but being a sports person, I catch the, I guess, fever of others who are big into it, and I have a really good friend, and I have to admit that he is a Sharks fan. And
ooh, that's even more problematic.
Well, no,
you gotta watch out, Scott. You're gonna get kicked off the show.
Well, no, but that's the thing is, I'm not gonna root for the Sharks because I'm a regionalist. So I want you guys to tell me why I should either choose the Blues over the Blackhawks because I'm also a traditionalist, and the Blackhawks are one of the original.
I mean, the Blackhawks are garbage,
but without any traditions.
So I'm just, you know, I'm open to be persuaded to become a Blues fan. So just letting you know.
The Blackhawk tradition is 100 years of
No, it was like 90 years of 5 years of great hockey and then 5 years of go back on the, yeah, we got 85 more years of thing before it comes back. Honestly, with the Blackhawks, it seems like they're moving in the right direction. If you want to get on the ground level of a team that will be good again, this is a good time to do it. But the Blues are good, like, literally right now at this moment. So.
All right. Well, that's all I need. I'll be a bandwagoner.
I'm knocking on wood.
Yes. Whatever happens today, they still had a hell of a season.
Yes, they did.
Which I know isn't what, you know.
Well, they had a hell of a half comfort. Season.
Yeah, better to have the second half.
Scott, as our new guest, we're going to give you the option of choosing either heads or tails to determine who goes first.
Heads.
Hey, Google, flip a coin.
You got tails.
Tails. Aww. Zach has won the coin toss, so he will have the option to play the first period categories or defer them. That also determines what happens in the second period, and whoever trails will go first in the third period. I'd also like to point out that is literally the only thing I use that thing for anymore.
Really? Worth it, still. Worth every penny.
And doesn't even have the cool coin roll anymore. That's the problem.
Yeah, I know. They changed that, and it disappoints me. Zach, you won the toss. Your categories are everyone's favorite headline hero, potential thumb injuries, or you two timing bastard.
Just trying to, like, wade through Ryan's curtains here and figure out what the hell these things mean. I will go with...
That way lies madness, my friend.
I'm going to play, and I think I'm going to take you two timing bastard.
You two timing bastard. These are five questions about multi-sport athletes.
Okay.
Number one, with which NFL and MLB teams did Bo Jackson play the majority of his pro football and baseball careers?
Okay. I'm not as up on my NFL history as I think I am, but I think I know this. I'm going to say the Raiders and Royals.
Raiders and Royals is correct.
Nice.
Okay.
Nicely done. Maybe your NFL history is as good as you think it is.
Well, that's one piece of evidence in the four column.
We will continue to find out. Number two, Deion Sanders was taken fifth overall in the 1989 NFL draft. Out of what university, which was at the time an independent? It joined the ACC 3 years later.
Okay. Phew. I was unsure until you said ACC, but I believe he played at Florida State.
Florida State is also correct for 10 points.
Okay, great.
Number three, what four-time Super Bowl winning quarterback set a national record while at Woodlawn High School in Shreveport, Louisiana, when he threw a javelin 245 feet?
Wow. That's really far. Isn't that... I mean, four-time Super Bowl winning quarterbacks is not a huge club, and Louisiana whittles it down a little bit more. So I think I feel safe in guessing Terry Bradshaw.
Terry Bradshaw is correct. You're 3 for 3.
All right.
Number four, what famous enforcer for the Habs, Canucks, Flyers, Capitals, and Rangers is 1-0 in MMA fights when he defeated his opponent 21 seconds into his first match?
You know what? I'm not sure of this. I think I'm going to challenge.
Scott, you have been challenged.
So that pre-show chatter about my hockey...
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, I definitely used it against you.
Good challenge.
I'm going to say somebody French or Canadian or French-Canadian. I don't know. Jean-Baptiste.
Jean-Baptiste is incorrect. Zach keeps his 10 points for a successful challenge. The answer is Donald Brashear. He is also 2-1 as an amateur boxer and trained under Joe Frazier, but might be most famous for getting whacked in the head with a stick by Marty McSorley.
Yeah.
Who didn't get whacked in the head with a stick by Marty McSorley?
This is an excellent point. He got whacked in the head with a stick most famously.
That's true.
And number five, who was the first black woman to compete in the LPGA and won Wimbledon 3 consecutive years from 1956 to 58?
Okay, I have a name in my head. I just want to make sure I'm not mixing her up with someone else. Okay, is this Althea Gibson?
It is.
All right.
You ran the table in that
nice
category
job.
With the help of a challenge.
Yeah.
Scott, we are to you. You have to choose between everyone's favorite headline hero or potential thumb injuries.
We'll go with potential thumb injuries.
Potential thumb injuries. These are five questions over sports video games.
Sweet.
Number one, what Nashville Predator graces the cover of NHL 19?
Jean-Baptiste.
Jean-Baptiste also is still incorrect. Zach?
NHL 19. So this would be the one that came out last fall, not the one that's about to come out. Because I think they just released the cover for the next edition. I don't remember who's on that, though. I think, is it P.K. Subban?
It is P.K. Subban for 5 points.
All right.
Number two, since 1997, what video game series has routinely featured child versions of pro athletes in their games, such as Albert Pujols, Tom Brady, Kevin Garnett, and Joe Thornton, as well as a diverse array of fictional characters?
We'll say I do not know. That's what we'll say.
Zach, do you have an answer?
Yeah, I actually had a couple of these games growing up. I was in a different Facebook group that I'm in. They were reminiscing about one of these games the other day, and I looked around and I still had the cartridge. So I actually fired it up and played it a little bit this week. So this would be the Backyard series of games, as in Backyard Baseball.
Backyard Sports is correct for another 5 points.
Good call, not challenging.
Yes.
Yeah, just so happened to have literally played one of those games about 4 or 5 days ago.
They were always a little outside of my age range by the time they came out.
Yeah, definitely.
Number 3, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and Al Gore were secret unlockable characters in what game popular in both arcades and on the Sega Genesis?
I'll go with NBA Jam.
NBA Jam is correct for 10 points. I thought that when you said that for the last question, I'm like, he's probably going to get the next one.
Boom shakalaka.
Number 3, with 260 million copies sold, what is the best-selling sports video game franchise in history?
I'll have to go with the world's game. I'll go with FIFA.
FIFA's correct for another 10 points. Well done. The only better-selling franchises are Grand Theft Auto, Call of Duty, Pokemon, and Mario.
Hmm.
Good information.
Rarefied air.
Yes, it is. As he said, the world game FIFA is just so massively popular overseas, especially.
Mm-hmm.
And number 5, Matt Viskersian, a play-by-play announcer for ESPN's baseball coverage, has been an announcer in every installment so far of what video game series whose most recent cover features Bryce Harper in his brand new Phillies uniform?
I can't think of what else it would be called, just MLB, like the 2K series, MLB.
2K series is incorrect. Zach?
Is it The Show?
It is The Show.
Show.
4 or 5 points. So after the first period, Zach has 65. Scott has 20. Plenty of time to catch up. We are to the first intermission. This is about college and draft picks. We're going to give you an athlete, a league, and a year. And you need to tell us what school that first round draft pick was taken from. Number 1, DeAndre Ayton, NBA 2018. Number 2, Casey Mize, Major League Baseball 2018. Number 3, Eli Manning, NFL 2004. And number 4, Rick DiPietro, NHL 2000. And while these guys think about the first round draft pick, here is a first round draft pick promo. Hey, Ryan, why should people give us iTunes reviews?
Well, if you give us iTunes reviews, we can have many good things happen out of it. There will be exposure for the show, which means more views and listens for us, which means a stronger community for the place, as well as more listens and everything like that. Also, if you do that, we get more money to buy Aaron alcohol, Brent mixer, and me all the meth I could ever want.
I'm sold. We are back with Scott and Zach for the answers for the first intermission question. Let's start with Scott. DeAndre Ayton, NBA 2018.
I said Kansas.
And Zach?
You guys just had to do this to me, didn't you? That you knew I was coming on the show this week. You know that I'm a Sun Devil, Arizona State, and you had to give me an Arizona Wildcat to answer a question about.
None of this, you guys, sir. We have nothing to do with this. It's all Ryan.
That's Ryan.Myers at sportstriviafaceoff.com.
Exactly.
Number 2, and the correct answer is Arizona. Number 2, Casey Mize in the Major League Baseball for 2018. Zach?
I thought this was like a neat coincidence that he ended up on the Tigers, who, you know, the Tigers wear navy blue and orange, and that's not what color Tigers are normally. Mm. And he came from Auburn, where they're the Tigers, and they wear navy blue and orange.
And Scott?
Miami.
It is Auburn for another 5 points for Zach. Number three,
but Miami also wears blue and orange. So yes. You weren't that far off.
There you go. Number three, Eli Manning, the NFL for 2004. Scott?
If either of you say Duke, I'm leaving.
Remind me at the end to explain something to you about Duke. I said Mississippi State.
And Zach?
I thought it was Ole Miss.
It is Ole Miss. 4 or 5 points for Zach. And number four, Rick DiPietro, NHL 2000. Zach?
I'm not sure on this one, although I remember hearing about, they did a segment, I think, on Rick DiPietro during the most recent NCAA, like, Frozen Four tournament, and I cannot remember what team they were talking about him being on. So I took a guess, and I went with Boston University.
And Scott?
I went with Boston College.
Oh, it is Boston University. Ooh. So, right. Zach, you ran the table on that intermission question. You picked up 20 points. The score is now 85 for Zach, 20 for Scott. And we turn the second period over to the best co-host in the world, Aaron Barkley.
Hello. Your categories are praise me, damn it, love me, damn it, or io sono lo sport. One of these things is not like the other. Scotty, I believe you're picking first.
Let's go with love me, damn it.
All right. These are five questions about love in sports.
Yay.
Yay. Number one. What Stanford running back was taken in the fourth round of the NFL draft this year by Washington?
Jean-Baptiste.
Surprisingly incorrect. Zach?
Oh, he ran all over the Sun Devils last fall, and Stanford, I believe, just absolutely destroyed us. Bryce Love.
That is correct. Two. If you're playing tennis and are down love 40, you're facing a triple what? Hey, buddy.
Tell him not to give away any answers.
Yeah, easy, Jimmy.
Well, I'm trying to think if there's a term, or because love 40, it would be 00-40. So, like, in my marion, I want to say down triple zero, but I've never ever heard that in any tennis broadcast that I've ever watched in my life. Mm-hmm. Then there's triple breakpoint, which is something that I have heard of. At least I've heard of breakpoint. So I'll go with breakpoint.
Oh, thank God. That's correct.
Okay. Yes.
I'm like, I don't know how to help. Number three, after being sacked as the head coach of the Bears, what other NFC team did Lovie Smith coach from 2014 to 15 before taking over at the University of Illinois?
I'll go with the Vikings.
Vikings is incorrect, Zach.
I can't remember if he was the head coach of this team or if he was just the defensive coordinator. Is it the Buccaneers?
It is the Buccaneers.
All right.
Mr. I don't know my NFL.
Well, that's recent. It's the history that I'm not up on.
You did say history. Back to Scott, number four. During the 2010-11 season, then Timberwolf Kevin Love led the NBA in rebounding, splitting up what other player's streak of what would have been six seasons in a row with top rebounding honors?
2010. I will challenge.
Ooh, Zach, you have been challenged. What do you say?
Ooh, I think this is a good challenge because I'm really not sure. Did you say 2009-10?
I said 10-11.
Oh, 10-11. Not that it matters. I mean, my goodness. That doesn't really help.
In that case.
Let's see. When you talk about rebounding records, it's always Dennis Rodman, but he was long gone by then.
He was hanging out in North Korea by then.
Yeah, my goodness.
That is just so weird.
Yeah.
It's one of the great mysteries of our time. This is more or less a shot in the dark. I'm going to guess Rasheed Wallace.
Rasheed Wallace is incorrect. The answer is Dwight Howard.
That was such a dark period in the NBA's history.
Apparently, Kevin Love is the nephew of Mike Love of the Beach Boys.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, according to this flavor text Ryan put in here. And my Rasheed Wallace story is many years ago, my roommate and one of my friends conspired to put a 7-foot inflatable of Rasheed Wallace in my bedroom when I wasn't home. I have never been so close to soiling myself as an adult as I was when I turn around and there's a 7-foot, you know, thing in my bedroom. The only saving grace is that no one else was home to hear me scream. So I didn't get that satisfaction. Anyway, number 5.
If nothing else, the phrase 7-foot inflatable of Rasheed Wallace will be our episode title.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, why do you own this? And it was because he played for what, UNC, right? Like it was in his UNC uniform, I think. So that my friend had no connection to anything to do with any, I don't know.
eBay's a wonderful thing.
I guess, but he just had it. He didn't buy it just to prank me. He had it in his apartment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
There's a million jokes in there that I won't go for.
Write your own.
It's just the weirdest inheritance.
Yeah. And then I'm like, what am I going to do with this thing? I don't want it. All right, number 5. Who won the 1997 PGA Championship by 5 strokes? This was his only major title.
Davis Love.
Bingo. 10 points. Technically, it's Davis Love III, but I'm not going to get picky. All right. Zach, back to you. Your categories to choose from are Praise Me, Damn It, or Io Sono Lo Sport.
Ugh, that last one is terrifying. I don't know. Is that... God, it looks like it's in Italian or something. I don't think I want to bite that bullet. I'll take Praise Me, Damn It.
These are 5 questions about sports awards. Number 1. At the time of this writing, it looks like either D'Angelo Russell or Pasco Siakam, S-I-A-K-A-M, are going to win what annual award that has been won in the past 3 years by Victor Oladipo, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and C.J. McCollum.
I think I'm going to leave it like that. That sounds pretty cool.
Maybe Defensive Player of the Year?
That is incorrect. Scott, you got to guess?
Most Improved Player.
Yep, that is correct.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Mr. Pacer, Victor Oladipo.
Ah, that's how you pronounce those names. Okay. Yeah, my only real interaction with basketball is if it's on the TV at the bar I happen to be in, so I do not know how to pronounce any of these names.
Also, a side story about Victor Oladipo. He went to Indiana University, which is my second favorite after Indiana State. And he is such an exciting player. I'm glad he actually, their IU has a Reddit, and they're actually doing a best dunks in IU history. Mm-hmm. And he has a missed dunk that was so spectacular. It's actually on one of the best dunks ever. That guy was so explosive. He missed the dunk, but it was so awesome to see it that if you ever have a chance to Google Oladipo's missed dunk, it was pretty awesome.
I think I just might. We can post.
You're really running the rivalry gamut then, because with my sister who goes to Purdue and you being an IU fan.
I am to the point in my life now where I don't really believe in disliking any teams except Duke. So I root for any team from the state of Indiana. It's just that I have a hierarchy.
That's fair.
Yes.
Number 2. The Silver Slugger Award is given each year to the best offensive players at each position in Major League Baseball. The award is given by Hillerich. God damn it, I really should. Hillerich? Yeah.
Hillerich sounds Hillerich good to me.
All right, cool. Number 2. The Silver Slugger Award is given each year to the best offensive players at each position in Major League Baseball. The award is given by Hillerich and Bradsby, appropriately the manufacturers of what name brand item?
I don't know, but I have a guess that seems reasonable enough, so I don't want to challenge because it seems like it's guessable. Maybe this is the parent company of Louisville Slugger?
That is correct. Right. They make the Louisville Slugger. Good guess. I don't know why it's appropriate necessarily, but I guess it is a baseball bat. I don't know. Number 3. In addition to excellence on the field, what man is the namesake of the annual NFL award given to honor a player's volunteer and charity work?
That would be Walter Payton.
Correct. Walter Payton won the award himself in 1977. It was named in his honor after his death in 1999.
Oh. He also started a crane rental firm in Chicago that still exists to this day.
Huh. Cool.
there's a little bit of Crane trivia for you.
Number four. Outstanding sportsmanship in the NHL is rewarded with the trophy named after whom? The 40th Vice Regal Consort of Canada.
I guess I could challenge also. No, but I want to try this.
It's become personal.
Right. This question has offended me personally. Is it the Lady Bing trophy?
It is. I just watched the dunk, and that's amazing. Sorry, I wasn't sure how long you're going to be. Yes, it is the Lady Bing trophy. Nice job. 10 points.
The current nominees, by the way, are Alexander Barkov, Sean Monahan, and Ryan O'Reilly.
Who do the other two guys play for? I just know Ryan O'Reilly.
Barkov plays for the Panthers, and Monahan, I think, plays for the Flames.
That's right.
That's why. So, those are two teams that I did not pay attention to this season.
So Lady Bing is the 40th Royal Consort of what?
Yeah, the 40th Vice Regal Consort of Canada, which I never dug into why it was called that, and that's fascinating.
Well, if I'm going to get into hockey, I need to know this stuff.
Vice?
She must have been a hell of a lady.
Consort. Is that like the wife of the lieutenant governor general or something?
I think a consort is a mistress, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's like because you can have a... Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess I didn't have anything to add to that.
What happened to the first 39?
Hold on. This I'm going to look up, and you guys can just wait.
Okay, I'm gonna.
That's okay. I'm watching the dunk right now.
It's pretty great.
Jesus! Wow!
Holy mackerel!
If he had
that rebound, that rebound had some awesome hang time.
If he had landed that dunk, that might have been one of the greatest dunks ever.
I half expected the ball to just fall straight back down into the basket.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was waiting on that too.
Straight up.
I mean, it's off camera. It's off camera.
They couldn't even pan up to catch it because the cameras aren't mounted to go that high.
Yeah.
I don't expect them to see anything up there.
Yeah, nothing in basketball is 20 feet in the air normally.
Except the egos. Anyway.
Hey-o.
So Zach, you were right. I think it was Zach was saying it. I don't know if you guys are on my screen. The Vice Regal Consort of Canada is the spouse of the serving Governor General of Canada, who assists the Viceroy with ceremonial and charitable work, accompanying him or her to official state occasions. So
now, have there been 40 lieutenant governors, or is she the 40th wife of the same guy?
Let's find out.
Has he been married 40 times?
So it's the wife of the governor general? Because I heard I heard vice in there, and I went for the lieutenant governor general, which I don't even think is a thing.
The viceroy is apparently a title for the governor general.
Okay. I've heard that as a title before, but I have no idea what it means.
Yeah, it's an official who runs a country, colony, city, province, or subnational state in the name of and as the representative of the monarch of the territory. So vice-regal just means viceroy is a fancy way of saying governor general. And she was the 40th vice-regal. She was not the 40th spouse of the viceroy.
Okay.
She served from 1921 to 1926.
Oh, also known as Viscountess Bing. That's not near as catchy.
No.
But easier to put on a card. A business card.
I don't know. I think for the purposes of trophies, I like Viscountess better.
I just noticed, by the way, that I am the only person in this room who is not a bearded man wearing glasses.
Okay, yeah. Then.
I'm looking around. I don't. One of these things is not like the other. All right.
That's right.
Number five. This is Zach. What award is given out to the top goal scorers in both the men's and women's FIFA World Cups?
I'm going to say the Golden Boot.
Golden Boot is correct.
Okay.
What was the other one you were thinking about?
Well, sometimes I hear the Golden Shoe, and I don't know if that's different or if it's just another name for the same thing.
Yeah, probably.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Because the Golden Ball is given to like the MVP.
Yeah. And there are golden gloves, too, I think, for the best goalkeeper.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And the ruby slippers.
Very different award.
The golden jockstrap.
another candidate for
episode. I like that one. All right, gentlemen, going into the second intermission, Scotty has 55, Zach has 135. There's still plenty of game to play. Here is your second intermission question. Name the four active NFL quarterbacks with the most all-time thrown interceptions. And they are going to think about some mediocre quarterbacks. You are going to listen to a better-than-mediocre ad, whether you like it or not.
Please support the STFO so that Aaron can afford more alcohol and we can have there even more entertaining promos.
Yeah. High-end tequila is not cheap. this girl's not drinking rot gut.
All right, I got my fourth name. Can I tell you a quick story?
Yes, please.
Absolutely.
I love sports stories. I went to Terre Haute North High School, and I'm going to root for Terre Haute because it's my hometown, and it's a down-and-out town like a lot of Rust Belt cities, and I always like to talk about it. It's the crossroads of America. Anyway, when I was in high school, our basketball coach was Jim Jones, who coached Larry Bird in high school. Okay, and Jim Jones has been on a lot of like Larry Bird documentaries because Larry Bird loved Jim and like kind of took him under his wing when his dad had killed himself, and they have a really great relationship. And Larry Bird would often have connections with our high school basketball team. The coach would take the players down to Larry's house and go fishing and stuff like that. Anyway, my dad was a huge booster for our high school. Was a booster club president and things like that. Was friends with the coach. And a few years ago, the coach had his 50th wedding anniversary, and it was kind of open to the public. And if you live in Terre Haute, there is a high chance that you will have met Larry Bird at some point in your life. Because of Coach Jones, and because he went to ISU, and he has lots of friends still here. So anyway, my dad at the time, we didn't know it yet, but was starting to suffer from Alzheimer's. And he was still active and driving and stuff like that, but he was starting to act a little iffy sometimes. And he was a huge Pacers fan, and this is when Larry Bird was coaching and the president. So this party comes up, and my dad never met a stranger. And he went to the party, and Larry Bird was there. He was off in the corner being all brutish, as Larry Bird would do. So my dad walks in, completely ignores Coach and his wife, and walks directly over to Larry. Now, if you're going to talk to Larry Bird, there's literally 1,000 things that you would talk to him about, like 1979. Celtics versus Lakers, the Olympics, coaching the Pacers, all this kind of thing. But what does my dad say? Hey, Larry, where can I get a Pacers schedule magnet for my refrigerator?
Oh, that's awesome.
What? And he's like, well, I think you can get one from the website. And he's like, thank you, Larry, and walks off. It was about 18 months later he was in a nursing home with Alzheimer's, but anyway, yeah. So that's my dad's Larry Bird story, and it's one of my favorite stories ever. While he's thinking, I'll go ahead and tell my other sports story. You were talking about Duke earlier. I used to get really angry when the Colts, like from like 2000, I'm a huge Colts fan, and from 98 until like 2005, they were underachievers. Like Peyton Manning would not get over the hump. And a lot of people think it was Tom Brady. He only played Tom Brady once in that time span in the playoffs. He like lost 44-0 to the Jets, you know, and lost a close game to the Titans with Eddie George. And it was just frustrating. And I realized one time we lost, and I'm like, I can't get this angry over sports anymore. I just can't. I was getting, you know, bent out of shape, and it'd be like a week after a huge loss. And like, this is just stupid. I'm old enough now. I'm in my 30s. This is dumb. Sports is supposed to be enjoyable. So I'm like, all right, let's get rid of rivalry. So I have created my rooting matrix of who I root for in college basketball. And it goes like this. It's Indiana State is always number one. If they're playing against any other team on this list, I'm going to root for them. Then it's Indiana. Then it's any other team from Indiana. Then it's any other team from the Missouri Valley. Then it's any other team from the Midwest. Then it's any other team from the Big Ten. Then it's any other team from the East, and then the South, and then the Southwest, the West, the Northwest, the local prison team. and then Duke is at the bottom. So we'd have to have a team from another planet before I root for Duke.
So you'd root for Duke over maybe the Monstars?
Yeah, oh yes, I would.
Okay. One of the judges I appear in front of regularly went, I think he went to NC State, and I probably have told this story as well, but he hates Duke. He hates Duke to the point where if I have a client who's going to be present and is a student at Duke, I have to warn them. I'm like, he's going to joke about sending you to jail. He doesn't mean it, but he's going to joke about it. So just be prepared, because it's really scary when you don't realize that he's just threatening you because he hates
to go
to. Yeah. So when he asks if he brought a toothbrush, don't freak out. Don't start to cry. He's joking. He can't actually send you to jail for going to Duke.
Well, I will have to say, though, I also could tell I'm getting older and more soft-hearted, because this year's team, like, it was just simply fun to watch Duke. And usually they have, like, those kind of like those kids on there that you just want to shake because they look like jerks. But, like,
yeah, they have one that comes in every 4 years, and they seem to, like, one of them just morphs into the next one, and all of a sudden he's 18 years old, and you have, well, Grayson Allen graduated, so now all of a sudden Duke was almost likable this year.
I loved it, and Zion Williamson is the most exciting player I've seen in a long time, and it was just fun to watch Duke, and so I've kind of softened even on them.
Wow.
I root for them over the local prison team.
Might.
Be one hell of an upset, though.
Yeah. Be the longest yard or something like that.
Yeah.
That's right.
The longest court.
All right. Are we ready for the we're playing trivia, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I am reluctantly locked in here. I don't love this list, but I'm not going to get them all probably no matter what. So.
Okay, great. Well, in that case, Zach, why don't you start? What four quarterbacks did you write down?
Okay. For all the time that just got skipped over, I agonized over this list, and Scott locked in maybe 30 seconds. And so that's making me feel not so great about this. But these are the four names that I have: Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, and Alex Smith.
Okay. And Scott, your four answers.
I had Philip Rivers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and the one that I could remember if he had actually retired yet, and that was Eli Manning.
All right. He is not retired yet.
Yeah.
I feel some kind of way about that, but whatever. So again, this is the most interceptions thrown of all time. So at number 41 with 178 and counting, Philip Rivers. Number 32 all time with 190 and counting, Ben Roethlisberger. 15, 233 and counting, is Drew Brees. And number 14 all time interceptions, 239 and counting, is Eli Manning. Just for funsies, Tom Brady has 171 in counting, so he is fifth on this list. He's slightly below Philip Rivers.
And he had one in the end of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Colts for the Colts to go to the Super Bowl. Or the AFC Finals, not Eastern Conference, the AFC Finals. That was a great interception.
All right, so some points gained, but no ground gained. Going into period three, Scott has 70, Zach has 150. He can still catch him. Third period. Off we go.
Scott, your three categories are I f***ing love cheese, let's get down to business, or what the hell is an ungulate?
And since I have a background in speech and pathology and English, let's go with what the hell is an ungulate.
What the hell is an ungulate? These are five questions over teams whose mascots are hooved animals. Number one, during the 2015-16 NFL seasons, what team's defensive backfield was nicknamed the no-fly zone, allowing only one 300-yard passer in 2015?
The Rams.
Rams is incorrect. Zach?
I will say the Broncos.
Broncos is correct for a 5-point rebound.
And I'm sure that nickname added some fuel to the fire for people who believe the new world order is headquartered under the Denver airport.
That's right.
So those people will believe anything.
Well,
Aqib Talib and Chris Harris Jr. were both Pro Bowlers those seasons, and Darian Stewart and T.J. Ward were named Pro Bowl alternatives.
Well, it is true that there are a bunch of tunnels under the Denver airport, right? Like,
yes.
Probably. Just, and it just look a mystery like it just of
what they're for.
Yeah. Someone cited, I was reading about it for a trivia game I was writing last year, and someone was like, well, I mean, why is it so far away from the city it serves? I'm like, because no major city wants an airport in the middle of it. Like, that is not a good argument for it being a weird place for weird stuff.
Yeah, that's...
That's the reason they moved it from the old airport.
Yeah, because people don't like the sound of low-flying planes.
What major city does have, other than New York and Chicago, have airports right next to them?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but everything, L.A. is so sprawly that, stuff that wasn't originally
That's
Vegas
true.
Is basically in L.A. at this point.
This is true.
Never been out to LAX.
It's terrifying. Do not recommend.
Yeah.
It's great for people watching, though.
That's true.
Is San Francisco the one where it looks like you're about to land in water and before you touch down?
Yes.
I think so. Yeah. I think one of the Texas ones is like that, too, maybe. Anyway, we've wandered slightly from the topic. I apologize.
Number two, after Eddie Sutton left to coach Kentucky, what man took over head coaching duties of the Arkansas Razorbacks men's basketball team, leading them to a national championship in 1994?
Oh, what is his name? I'll never forget that. They had that kid with the colored hair that year, 94. Nolan is the name I came up with.
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
Nolan is incorrect, Zach.
Well, I also have absolutely no idea. I feel like I'm going to hear it from Wesley for getting a Razorbacks question wrong.
Ooh, yeah, that you will.
So I'm just going to make up a name. I feel like I've never heard this guy's name before. It's easy to forget that they even won a championship in the 90s. I'm just going to make up a name, Richardson.
Nolan Richardson is
wait. Is that
oh no.
Okay, dang no, it. That is a name that I just picked out of a hat. I was punting.
Oh no.
Your lucky Richardson paid off today.
Oh, no.
Jesus. I don't even think I ever knew that. I don't think I was pulling it from a subconscious. I think I just picked a name out of a hat.
You are not making Scotty feel better though.
This is true.
That's all right. Hey, I'm glad you got it.
What's sportsmanship? What class?
That's right.
I want to apologize for getting that right because I don't deserve it.
Number three, name either of the two running backs selected to the all-time Texas Longhorns team chosen in 2005 by the Austin American Statesman.
Ricky Williams.
Earl Campbell is the other, correct for 10 points. Number four, located in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, the Bison from the Patriot League play at what university that won the 2005 ESPY for best upset when they, as a 14 seed, defeated the number three Jayhawks during March Madness?
Is it Seneca?
Seneca is incorrect, Zach.
I think this is Bucknell.
Bucknell is correct for a 5-point rebound.
My uncle used to be the chaplain there.
Really?
Huh.
Mm-hmm. It's my only connection to the place.
Oh, that's far more than me.
Far more than most people, I think. Yeah. It is not a big school.
Yes. Excuse me just a second. I feel like my voice is going.
You got some screaming to do this afternoon, man. You better be careful.
I hope it's happy screaming and not, you stupid! That was a goddamn hand pass!
I'm still mad. Sorry.
Number five, who is the only Heisman Trophy winner for the SMU Mustangs?
Eric Dickerson.
Eric Dickerson is incorrect. Zach?
Heisman Trophy winner, SMU. Did Craig James win the Heisman?
No, the answer is Doak Walker.
Oh. Yeah, and now you know.
The name's
now you know.
For the trophy in the NFL.
I don't know why I thought he played at Florida State. Is there a stadium named after him? No.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Zach, we are to you. You have to choose between I f***ing love cheese or let's get down to business.
While you're thinking, I just want to point out this is going to be the first episode where Ryan is the reason Brent has to use the bleep button and not me.
Yes.
Normally it's my fault.
F***ing right it is.
All right. We're going for it. I f***ing love cheese.
I f***ing love cheese. These are five questions about Wisconsin sports.
Okay. That's what I was expecting. We'll see how that goes.
Number one, nicknamed the Golden Boy. What Green Bay Packer won the Heisman Trophy, was taken number one in the 1957 draft, won MVP, won four championships with the team, and was inducted into the Pro and College Football Halls of Fame?
Well, this is exactly what I keep saying I'm not so good at. Is it...
And then you keep being good at
it. Is it Bart Starr?
It is not Bart Starr, Scott.
That's actually who I was going to say. I don't have any idea.
The answer is Paul Hornung. Number two, playing with the team since 2015 when he was drafted by them, what Hornets power forward and center was one of the star players for Wisconsin during their heartbreaking loss to Duke in the 2015 NCAA championship game?
Okay, so that Wisconsin team was really... I mean, there are a lot of guys... And I never really follow these guys once they get to the NBA. So I'm not even sure if he played or plays for the Hornets, but is it Frank Kaminsky?
It is Frank Kaminsky for 10 points. Well done. Number three, two Badgers have won the Heisman Trophy. One was Alan Ameche in 1954. Who was the other?
The only name that I'll be able to come up with and that I'll have to settle on is Ron Dayne.
Ron Dayne is correct. Right. Slow start. Now you're heating up. Two players in the Baseball Hall of Fame are wearing Brewers caps for number four. Name either one of them.
Let's see. So I think he played his whole career with the Brewers. Robin Yount.
Robin Yount is correct. Paul Molitor is the other one.
I couldn't remember if he played long enough with the Twins to maybe sneak in there to have a Twins cap, because I believe he's also from Minnesota. Maybe they would choose that.
Yeah. And number five, during their 1970-71 championship-winning season, two Milwaukee Bucks made the first and second All-NBA team. We need you to name both. Ooh.
Well, I felt good about one. I don't feel good about both. This is my last chance to, so I'm going to challenge.
Scott, you have been challenged.
Lou Alcindor and Oscar Robertson.
That is a 15-point answer. Well done.
Good job.
The big O.
You challenged poorly.
I did not know that Oscar Robertson played there.
After the third period, it is a 100-point game, 95 for Scott, 195 for Zach. We are going to hear how the shootout works, and then we will hear Aaron ask the shootout questions. In the shootout, both players take a shot at being the closest to the correct answer of three questions. If either player is closer on more questions than the other, they get 20 points. If a player is closer on all three questions, they get 50 points. If a player is within 10% of the correct answer on all three questions, they are awarded an extra 100-point hat trick bonus.
Your three shootout questions, gentlemen. Number one, the number of times the Toronto Argonauts have won the Grey Cup. Number two, the number of bases Barry Bonds stole in his Major League Baseball career. And number three, in U.S. dollars, the current value of the Los Angeles Lakers. And while they think about those things, you can think about whatever promo Brent's going to drop in here.
If you have a question or category suggestion, or you'd like to appear on the Sports Trivia Face-Off, always feel free to send an email to brent@sportstriviafaceoff.com or join the Sports Trivia Face-Off group on Facebook.
I grew up watching basketball, and I was actually more of a Celtics fan than an actual basketball just because of Larry Bird. Then I became a football fan when Jeff George was the Colts quarterback. And then I never really grew up watching baseball, so I actually came to baseball in my 20s during the home run race of 98. And I kind of just chose the Cubs because that was kind of a family team. Anyway, the reason why I say that, I always seem to know more about history and stories of sports than the actual day-to-day and statistics and things. And the reason why I say that is that stolen bases is one of those stats that I have a hard time grasping on, because in baseball, like ERA and home runs and that kind of thing, and stolen bases seem to go in waves, or like in the 80s, it was like there was a lot of teams that just get to first and then will steal second and drive you home. Mm-hmm. And then there was a long time where, don't worry about stealing, we'll just home run you in, we'll just bash you in. So it just seems to go in waves, and I'm trying to think, because Barry Bonds kind of crossed over that time period of like late 80s when it was stolen bases, and then there was like they weren't stealing bases, and then stolen bases came back. I'm having a hard time trying to figure out how many bases he stole, because he kind of went through two or three different eras, and then later he just was either walked or hit home runs. So, So that was just all that to say. I have no idea exactly about the stolen bases.
And it's one of those things that you know, there are a lot of old grumpy guys in baseball that like to complain about how shitty the game is now, or whatever they think baseball should be. And
they have that in every sport.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like they have it especially in baseball.
That's
because,
true.
Because
not so long.
If it's not 2-1, then it's not a good game.
And because the rules of baseball have almost never changed in its history, and every other sport is making adjustments on the fly. But that's one of the things that they use seemingly to try and say that baseball's worse now, that teams don't steal bases anymore. But what is actually true is that the 80s were the odd period in the history of the stolen base. That was so much higher than every other period in baseball history. The number of bases that are being stolen now is kind of what it was in the 30s and 40s and 50s when all these guys are the time all these guys are pining for.
Mm-hmm. And it was actually all Ricky Henderson in the 80s stealing bases.
Well, yeah, that didn't hurt, and Coleman and all the other guys that are on the record books are all from that time.
Lou Brock was from the 70s.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, small ball, you know, from the Big Red Machine, it was just get on and move them around. So the 70s and 80s was a stolen base, and that was kind of when I was aware of it. So, like, it's like Ricky Henderson, he stole 100 in one season. I'm like, I don't know how to gauge how many Barry Bonds had. It's just one of those things. Stolen bases is one of those stats that I have a hard time wrapping my head around.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I have my other guesses. If
yeah. I'm ready to go too. Yeah, I'm all of a sudden feeling a little bit less sure about my stolen base number. We'll see how it goes. Awesome.
That's my only hope is to is to put doubt in your mind.
Stolen bases, you are my only hope.
All right, so I'm just going to run through y'all's answers really quick so I can put them into the spreadsheet, and then we'll go back and you can explain how you got them. So, Scott, what'd you put for number one?
7.
And number 2?
480.
And number 3?
1.462 billion.
All right, Brent, can you check my zeros there?
Mm-hmm.
And Zach, number 1?
13.
Okay.
240 stolen bases.
Okay.
And 2.5 billion.
And same thing for that one down there. I don't know how numbers work.
Oh, you got one too many in that last one.
Oh, oops.
Should be 8 zeros.
Okay, cool.
There you
go. Yay. I just hit zeros until I got bored. Okay. All right, number 1, the number of times the Toronto Argonauts have won the Grey Cup. Scott, what did you say?
Yeah, CFL is not one of my things, but I always seem to hear the Argonauts, so I chose 7.
And Zach?
Yeah, pretty similar for me. I know they just recently passed over 100 Grey Cups, and the CFL has always had like 8 to 10 teams, so I decided to go with lucky number 13.
All right. The answer is lucky number 17. Oh. So Zach off by 4, Scott off by 10. Zach picks up one win in the shootout. Number 2, the number of bases Barry Bonds stole in his Major League Baseball career. Zach, we'll start with you.
Yeah, really not too much of an idea on this one either. I know when he was with the Pirates in his, let's say, leaner days, he had a couple of, of seasons where he was like a 30-30 guy, 30 homers and 30 steals. So he's got a decent number, but I think I decided to go on the low end a little bit eventually, and I said 240.
And Scott?
Yeah, we talked about this. It was just hard to grasp. Stolen bases is one of those stats that I can't get in my mind, especially with Barry. But I went with 480.
All right. Zach, you were correct. It was quite a few. It was 514 stolen bases.
Wow.
So Zach off by 274, Scott off by only 34. Scott picks up the win for that one. We are 1-1 going into number 3. In U.S. dollars, the current value of the Los Angeles Lakers. Zach, what did you say?
Not too much of an idea on this one either. Just that the kind of the most valuable franchises in sports, like, you know, I think the Cowboys is cited as the most valuable, and the Lakers would probably be up there, is into the couple of billion at this point. And so I just kind of threw out 2.5 billion.
All right. And Scott.
I actually recently looked at a list not too long ago, and I was actually surprised at how low I thought some of the values were. And like exactly saying that the Cowboys and the Yankees are up there. But I said 1.462 billion.
Weirdly specific. The answer is 3.7 billion with a B dollars. So Scotty was off by 2.38 billion. Zach off by 1.2 billion. So Zach picks up the shootout win. He gets an additional 20 points. Final score, Scott 95, Zach 215. But listeners, do not let that score fool you. This was a really good game with some really fantastic stories that I hope don't end up on the cutting room floor.
They won't. They will be available in some form, I guarantee it.
Awesome.
Zach, that's not often you can be 1.2 billion off of something and still be close.
Well, yeah. You know, I was going to say something and then it just evaporated out of my head. I don't know what I was going to say.
Thank you guys both for joining us on a Sunday morning to play a little sports trivia with us. Scott, is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
No, but it's one of those things that you're always wondering what questions you're going to get, because there have been some games where I would have had 200 points and then today I got 95, and I'll just blame it on hockey.
That's fair.
And people often do.
Jean-Baptiste.
I blame Jean-Baptiste.
Yes.
Yeah, you ran up against a little bit of a buzzsaw today, too. Zach is one of our better players. Zach, is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
Let's go Blues.
Absolutely. I will second that for you.
I mean, just thanks, guys, for letting me come on again. I believe that evens my all-time record on this show at 2-2. So I'm happy to finally get to 500 on that. Thank you, Scott. It was nice to meet you, and everything that the stories that you were pulling out from Terre Haute. I just loved hearing all of those, and that was great. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for everyone, and Zach, it was great to meet you guys, and hopefully I can come back and redeem myself.
Absolutely. So for Scott and Zach and Aaron, this is Brent. We will see you next time you download. This has been the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Thank you very much for listening. The Sports Trivia Face-Off is hosted by Brent Bollmeyer and Aaron Barkley. Questions are written by Ryan Clefcorn Myers, and the Sports Trivia Face-Off is recorded, edited, and produced by Brent Bollmeyer.
Found it. It's 30 seconds long, so I'm not going to play it right now because I'm looking. No, pause.
I got to cue this up for later.
Pause. Yeah. Oh, there's a lady talking to me. There's an ad. Well, this computer is not behaving. Okay. And we're back. No. She's still talking. Stop. Okay.
You could have just watched the video by now.